Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. My name is Norris, and in today's episode, we are going to be talking about... What are we going to talk about? let's talk about Lil Nas X. Well, actually, not really so much him. More so, let's talk about conservatives, conservatism, and namely, Candace Owens. So, I have a friend who said, oh, you should watch the Candace Owens video about his most recent music video. And I was like, well, I know I want to do that. Because I know who Candace Owens is. She's garbage. but I'm so glad he told me to watch it. Because it really encapsulates everything that I am against. And it like wraps it up in such a nice bow. It was like a gift, honestly. This video was... So let's discuss. So Candace Owens. Now, I always want to explain who's who. Like whenever I talk about these politicians, I try to give a little bit of a backstory so that we know who we're dealing with, right? So let's give a little bit of backstory about Candace Owens. Candace Owens is a... I call her a black white supremacist because her language doesn't sound much different than white supremacist language. It really doesn't. So let's discuss. So she is black. Yes, she is. I think she's 31, maybe 32. And so she is a conservative commentator. Let's discuss the past. So I've actually known who Candace Owens is for a long time. Maybe like 9-10 years at this point. Candace Owens, she originally came into a small spotlight. She came into a small spotlight when she was still in high school. She was the victim of some very vicious racist attacks from classmates, from people at her school, leaving her voicemails, you know, telling her that they're going to find her and kill her and the N-word and this and that. what happened is actually quite heinous on the school's part. The school decided, so she's from Stamford, Connecticut. That's why I know the story, because it like came, I'm from Connecticut. It came on, you know, local news. Like, I remember reading about this not too far away from when it happened. She was left all these horrible voicemails, was harassed at school. Her siblings were harassed at school. Even when one or two of her attackers was arrested. So they went to the police eventually. A few of her attackers were arrested. The school still did not suspend them, did not expel them. And her lawsuit against the school board, her eventual lawsuit against the school board, alleged that because one of her attackers was the governor's son, that they were protecting him rather than her. So we have some, so that's when I first heard about her. And she eventually won that lawsuit. And I believe every single word of it. I do believe every single word of it. The system was protecting the attackers because of his connections. His connections to the governor. The governor was white. Surprise, surprise. next, Candace Owens. She eventually creates a very left-leaning, very liberal website blog called Degree 180. In this blog, she is very much so participating in the quote-unquote cancel culture that she now speaks out against. She berates cancel culture so much, and it's quite funny how that is the case now when 10 years ago it was not. So she... her and her staff, she had a few people as staff. They would actually go through social media and put people on blast for their hateful comments. They would take screenshots of tweets, of Facebook posts, and put them on her website. Completely, you know, uncensored, like there was no redactments. No redactions, whatever the word is. So usernames were visible, full comments were visible, and she just, you know, let social media do what social media does, right? You know how when you see a video of someone acting stupid and someone in the comments says social media will do what social media does, which is act a fool, which is really just go after that person. So that's what she would do. So as a, you know, quite a staunch participant in the cancel culture that she now berates, her website was pretty popular. I mean, I remember it, actually. I remember that website. I didn't care to go on it very much, but I do remember that that website existed. She and her staff would write lots of, you know, left-leaning articles, very liberal-type stuff. She was a very... Now, listen to this next part, because this is where we start getting into the hypocrisy of it all, the weirdness. 2016, she is still operating this website, making posts in 2016, yes. Then, later in 2016, she's still writing these posts for her website. One post in particular, quite a few posts actually, are talking about Donald Trump and how he's so horrible. So he had like just gotten elected, right? And she's still making these posts. Donald Trump sucks. She compares him to Hitler. And then later in 2016, she loves Trump. She makes a video, oh, I'm coming out as conservative. Imagine that, coming out as conservative. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Conservatives never have any original thoughts. It's like, obviously, that's a take on coming out as gay, right? So it's like, stop it, Candace. So here's who we have here. Someone who, in the span of 6 months, completely flip-flopped. How do you go from thinking someone is Hitler and then supporting them? Like, does that make any sense? Like, who's someone that is universally sort of seen as a bad person? Like, and then do you, in less than a year, flip sides and say, oh, I support this person? I agree with everything they say. How do you go from the complete one end of the spectrum to the complete opposite end? That's very strange to me. It all seems very opportunistic. Candace Owens she's quite intelligent, I think. She really does know what she's talking about when she debates, when she gives speeches. And I do think that she is doing this for personal gain. It is the optics of it all. A black woman being very much so in line, like standing in solidarity with people like Donald Trump, with people like Charlie Kirk, with people like Donald Trump Jr., with people like Laura Trump, standing in solidarity with people who are supported by white supremacists, standing in solidarity with people who are supported by Ku Klux Klan members. Let's not pretend the Ku Klux Klan still exists today, very much so. The fact that she stands in solidarity with people who are supported by people who call themselves Nazis. It's the optics of it all. When she's on stage with them, it is quite the sight. And I think she does it for clicks. I think she does it for views. I think she does it for the money. Because seeing a black woman on stage with, you know, left-leaning ideologues is sort of, you know, run-of-the-mill. You kind of expect that, right? So what better way to stand out, what better way than to make a name for yourself than to do the complete opposite of what everyone expects, right? Even if it goes against your core values, which it seems to be the case, because again, she flip-flopped in less than 6 months. So this is who we are dealing with, you guys. So let's talk. So let me pull out my notes here. So this is who we're talking about, Candace Owens. I want to do this podcast in like 35, 40 minutes or less. Let's see how we do. Because there's no reason for me to be on here talking for this long, you guys. Okay, so let's talk about what Candace Owens is talking about. She has a big problem with Lil Nas X. Why though? Like, why? Let's talk about why she has this problem. Now, there are a few talking points that I want to continually allude back to. One is that the USA, America, is inherently conservative. Remember that. The United States is inherently conservative across the board, across all spectrums. The United States is inherently conservative. Number two, conservatism will always catch up to itself. I will go back to these points, so if you're not sure what I mean, don't worry. It'll all make sense in the end. Number two, conservatism will always catch up to itself. So, let's talk about Candace Owens and the Lil Nas X video. He made a video called whatever it's called, and the song is whatever to me. Lil Nas X is, he doesn't do much for me. I didn't really care about Old Town Road. Everyone else did though. That song was huge. I didn't care that much for it, but whatever. That's not the point, right? So the new song is out. And along with the song is the accompanying music video. This video has everyone talking. I would have never spoken about this topic if all these conservatives would have just kept their mouths shut. If they had just kept their mouths shut, I would have never known about this. Because a Lil Nas X video means nothing to me. The song means nothing to me. The video is just whatever. So the video, in the video, why are conservatives upset? Because in the video, Lil Nas X is portrayed. He is, what happens? He is sentenced to go to hell. He rides down the depths of hell on a stripper pole. he meets Satan, gives Satan a lap dance, and then he snaps Satan's neck, and then takes Satan's horns and puts them on his own head, almost like a crown, and then he is sort of dubbed as the new Satan. Let's talk about why conservatives are upset and why their upsetness is stupid. What are you upset about? This video, it doesn't look very much different than other videos that we've seen in the past. Look at any Lady Gaga video, and this video looks quite similar. I think the video's weird. I mean, it was pretty, I only watched it once. It's something that I don't need to see more than once. It's just, you know, it's fine. It's lots of CGI. It looks like a Lady Gaga video. Lady Gaga videos are very weird. It looks like any pop star's video, honestly. It looks like a Katy Perry video. Like, it looks like her teenage dream. It really does look like Katy Perry's teenage dream. Remember that album cover? With her naked on the cloud? Like, it kind of looks just like that. Yet no one cared when Katy did it. No one cared when Katy did that. When she talked about kissing a girl. I mean, they might have cared a little bit, but nothing like this. They didn't care when Lady Gaga makes constant references to Jesus, makes constant sexualized references to Jesus and Mary Magdalene. No one cares about that. But they care about this little boy. I mean, how old is he? Is he even 21 years old? I don't even think he's 21, you guys. And already making these people upset. So, they're upset about the portrayal of... I'm not even that sure what they're upset about. They're upset about snapping the neck. They're upset about him becoming Satan. It's very interesting. The same people that are upset about this video are the ones that say gay people are going to hell. They're the ones who are saying this. So how funny that they're upset when a gay man makes a video of himself going to hell. What is there to be upset about? This is what you said to us for years. This is what is said to us now. So here he is making a video and you're upset about it because the content is such that is what? Is making your words look stupid? I think that might be what it is. No, I know exactly what it is. It's because the conservatism in the United States is such that where they will take anything and relate it back to, oh, this doesn't line up with the Bible. Oh, this doesn't line up with, you know, think about the children. And what about children watching this? Let's talk about how you're going to have to raise your own children. People are going to have to raise their own children and stop relying on Lil Nas to do it for you. Stop relying on Cardi B to raise your kids for you. She didn't birth your child. Raise your own kids. It's very interesting how conservatives are very concerned about everyone else doing their own thing and their children seeing it. It's like you want the entertainment industry to raise your children. That sounds very socialist to me. You know what I mean? It's like you want the benefit of everyone else taking your child into account when they make their art. How about you raise your child and just stop? This makes no sense. So Candace Owens says lots of things in this video. She says how, let's talk about how she talks about black people. She talks about black people all the time in a very disparaging way. Let's talk about what she says. She says, one thing that she says is that Lil Nas X is upset because conservatives are commenting. She says that Lil Nas X is obviously doing this for attention. Why does anyone do anything, Candace, for money? She references the fact that Lil Nas X is the spokesperson for the Satan shoes that are coming out. Well, actually, these shoes are already out. I'm not going to go into the Satan shoes, you guys. If you don't know what the Satan shoes are, look it up. But anyway, Satan shoes, because I'm not trying to be on here for 10,000 years. So a company called Mischief, they're based out of Brooklyn. They created the Satan shoes. They created Jesus shoes last year. Apparently they put a drop of holy water in each shoe. Please, you don't put a drop of holy water. You got a drop of water from the sink and you put it in your shoe. Okay, that's really what it is. But she is upset about the Satan shoes coming out. How come you're not upset about the fact that there's a sports team called the New Jersey Devils? They've been around for a long time. Conservatives don't really care. They only care when it fits their talking points, when they can rally their people behind it. Like, no conservative is going to care about a sports team being called the New Jersey Devils. The same way that they didn't care about that, about the Redskins. No one cared about that. Conservatives, because they don't care. But when they can get some forward mobility, some upward mobility, then they care. Then they care. People like Candace care then. Because she's doing what she's doing for attention. Imagine that. She's telling Lil Nas X that you're doing all of these theatrics for attention. What are you doing, Candace? Because remember, in 2016, she was completely on the left wing. Now she's so far on the right wing that she's standing in solidarity with white supremacists. That's why I call her a black white supremacist. Like, what are we doing here, Candace? Next, she says how, I'm sorry, she says how, here we go. So she says that black Americans are, you know, they'll do anything to, they will be used by these companies in any way necessary because the companies are offering a check. She says that Nike is to blame for the Satan shoes, when in fact, it's a company called Mischief that's making these shoes. Mischief bought a bunch of Nike Air Max shoes and redesigned them. That's what it is. Candace is dumb in that aspect. Nike's not behind the shoes. So it's like, stop calling Nike. Like, if you're going to call Nike a bad company, call them a bad company because of their child labor practices. If you're gonna call Nike a bad company, call them a bad company because they exploit labor practices in China and in Thailand and Cambodia. Like, call them a bad company because of that. Nike is suing Mischief because of copyright infringement. It's very funny how Nike wants to sue Mischief, but they didn't want to sue the son of that ex-VP for reselling thousands of pairs of shoes. Like, I hope Nike loses that lawsuit. Like, either sue them all or don't sue them at all. Like, pick one, Nike. So, she says that Black Americans will do anything. They will be used by these companies for a check. I have a big problem with this statement because Candace Owens is a conservative, right? She always is talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I hate pull yourself up by your bootstraps politics. I don't have pull yourself up by your bootstraps politics, but Candace does. And what this is in reference to is, you know, go get 5 jobs if you need to just to make ends meet. And then eventually it'll work out. You know what I mean? Like, that's what pull yourself up by your bootstraps politics is. But here's the thing. Lil Nas X is pulling himself up by his bootstraps. So I don't really understand what the problem is. Like, he is pulling himself up. He is selling these shoes. He is making this music. Everyone's talking. Again, the point of him doing anything is for money. The point of him doing anything is for attention. So it's kind of like, and with that attention that he gets, that is him pulling himself up, Candace. So what exactly is the problem? He's not relying on the government for a check. He's far too rich for that. So what is the problem? Let's talk about how she talks about Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. Cardi B and Megan did a performance of WAP at the Grammys. I thought it was a pretty good performance, actually. But anyway, she says how the performance was disgusting and is this what feminism is now and blah, 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 blah. And she is telling us that she thinks that it's bad that this is what they are portraying to children. What is Candace talking about? She's saying that Megan and Cardi B are what? That they are influencing children by humping each other on stage. Megan Thee Stallion is a student. If you follow Megan Thee Stallion and you go on her Instagram, you'll see her taking Instagram stories in class. She's talking about being in class. She's like relatable in the sense where she's like, oh, I don't really want to be here right now. She has numerous posts saying, stay in school. Do what you can to stay in school. This is what she's promoting, Candace. So what exactly is wrong with what Megan is promoting? I think she graduated right now because I'm not seeing the school posts like I used to. But that doesn't change the fact that when Megan was first becoming really famous, all she talked about was school. She posted pictures of her textbook. She was a student. So I don't really understand what is so terrible about that. Maybe if Candace followed her, then she would know. Next, let's talk about Cardi B. I don't follow Cardi B, but again, we're talking about pull yourself up by your bootstraps politics, right? Megan pulled herself up by her bootstraps, and she's going to school at the same time. You know, at the same time while she's twerking and doing all this. I mean, who cares? What? This is why I say America is inherently conservative. Because if women do anything other than, like, you know, cooking and cleaning and being a baby factory, then people have problems. People have big problems. But they also are conservative in the sense of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So pick one. You have to pick one. Candace, you can't say that you want Megan to pull herself up by her bootstraps and then get mad when she does just because you don't like the way that she does it. When we're talking about Cardi B, let's talk about Cardi B. Cardi B is quite famous. She has lots of songs. Cardi B was famous before she even put out these good songs. She was quite famous before she even got on Love & Hip Hop like 5-6 years ago. Before she got on Love & Hip Hop, Cardi B had like a million followers on Instagram doing what? I don't know what that girl was doing to get all those followers. Probably antics. But here. Oh, and she talks about how she was a stripper. She makes no apologies for what she used to do. She used to strip. She came from nothing. She lived in the Bronx. And here we have another case of someone pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. Gaining all those followers on Instagram is pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Because what does that equate to? That equates to brand deals. That equates to money. That equates to pulling yourself up. Candace, she pulled herself up by her bootstraps, and you have a problem with it. And you have a problem with it. It's very strange when people are talking about think of the children when you are creating your art, when you are creating your music, think about the children. When the conservatives don't think about the children when it comes to gun policy. 26 kids died in Newtown, Connecticut in December 2012, and no one cared. No one cared. I can't even, like, how do you tell Lil Nas X to think of the children when you don't think of the children, when you don't care that these kids are dead? Like, there's no hope for gun reform in the United States. After those kids died, I swear, I was like, oh, and after those kids died and there was no legislation, I was like, it's dead. It is so dead because nobody cares. Nobody cares. So it's like, stop saying think about the children when you don't even think about the children. How many kids are dying when it comes to Lil Nas X's music? How many kids are dying when it comes to Cardi's music? How many kids are dying when it comes to Cardi and Megan humping each other on stage? Who's dying? I can tell you, we can tell you who's dying when it comes to guns in school. We can tell you that. But what we can't tell you is who's dying when it comes to people's music videos. So, what are you really doing? It's because America is inherently conservative. America is inherently conservative. Across the board. Across the board. Across all spectrums. Next. Candace criticizes Black Americans by being used by these companies as tokens. It's quite rich that Candace is talking about people being used by It is rich that Candace is referring to Black people as tokens for being used by these companies when she herself is the token Black girl. That's who she is. Candace Owens worked for a conservative news source called Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA is a conservative news source, and I don't mean like a Fox News type of thing. I'm talking about even farther on the spectrum of left-wing and right-wing. Fox News is like the, you know, the sort of white tablecloth version of conservatism. And then along with Turning Point USA, you have news sources such as One America News, Newsmax, The Blaze, things like that, where they commonly talk about conspiracy theories. They have conspiracy theorists on there. They are very much so that. So that's who she worked for in 2017. Imagine going from thinking that Donald Trump is Hitler to then working for a company that idolizes him. So Turning Point USA is owned by Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk is someone that I would not work for. Let me give you something to think about. You wouldn't work for Donald Trump and think you're gonna have a good time, right? If you're Black, you probably wouldn't have a good time. If you're a woman, you definitely won't have a good time. You know what I mean? So, do you work for someone like that? Probably not. So, let's talk about who Charlie Kirk is. Because, again, I always want to say who these people are, give a little bit of backstory. So, Charlie Kirk is, he's white, which is whatever. and he, on Turning Point America, Turning Point USA, he frequently has other people come on to talk, to write articles. He has people that are known to be white supremacists come on to his news source, and, you know, he gives them a platform. He gives people like Milo Yiannopoulos a platform. Milo Yiannopoulos is a true, like, white supremacist. And I don't say that, like, like as a pejorative. I don't say that as a sort of summation of his ideals. He says this out of his own mouth. So it's not like I'm calling him this to tear him down. This is his own words about himself. White supremacist. So that's what we're talking about here. Do you go and work for someone who sits at a table with white supremacists? Do you sit at a table with someone... Do you work for someone who sits at the table with people who make themselves known as white supremacists? There's a difference between you yourself saying that you're a white supremacist and people kind of just thinking you might be. Does that make sense? Milo Yiannopoulos is one where he says it out loud. He says it with his full chest. So do you work for someone like that? I don't think so. Because if you work for someone like that, for someone who sits at the table with people who call themselves white supremacists, who sit at the table with people who call themselves Nazis, what are you doing? Like, you clearly have something to gain. You clearly have something to gain. And let's talk about her. Let's talk about how her position was the director of urban engagement. I mean, honestly, come on. Is this not Blackish in real life, you guys? Like, honestly, she is the token black girl. So, Candace, stop calling these people tokens when you're a token yourself. You really are. She doesn't work for Turning Point America anymore. But that's not the point. The point is that you did this. You did do this. And now you're angry with people who are pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. Pick a lane and stay in it. I really can't understand. So, next. She says how... Let's talk about how she says that we're not going to talk about how she says that Nike has an interest in destroying America, because I don't know what that means. Who says that? Why would a company have an interest in destroying the country where which they do business? Dumb, just dumb. But that's a conservative talking point. You know what I mean? That's like a conservative dog whistle where they're like, oh, they want to, like the Democrats want to destroy America. And what they mean is, make America more socialist. I don't see how Nike would benefit from America being more socialist. Like what? Dumb. Just dumb, dumb, dumb. But her base will believe it because they're dumb. So let's talk about next how Candace Owens said in the video that Black Lives Matter is responsible for the destruction of black neighborhoods and not white supremacy. Let's talk about how she says Black Lives Matter is the reason behind recent incarceration of black men. What does this mean? What does any of this mean? I really don't understand what she's talking about. She says that white supremacy, she makes an analogy to, for example, if someone has cancer and then they go to the doctor and they say, oh no, it's actually not cancer, it's this, it's that. She says, let's actually get a real diagnosis. And in that analogy, the sickness is Black Lives Matter and black culture being sick. I don't mean sick in like, wow, that's sick. That's like a cool thing. No, I mean sick like terminally ill, you guys. So let's really talk about that. We could go on about this for a very long time, but I'm going to try not to. So the destruction behind black neighborhoods. Let's talk about the point that I made in the beginning that the United States is inherently conservative. Let's talk about conservatism and what conservatism means and how it actually has led to the destruction of black neighborhoods and to the creation of black neighborhoods. Let's discuss. So we have black people in America, right? Let's talk about black neighborhoods and the formation of them and why they exist, why suburbs exist. Suburbs exist because have you ever heard the term white flight? When black people would come to the cities, you know, after slavery was abolished, there's what's called the Great Migration, where lots of black people were looking for work, obviously, you know, trying to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, Candace. And so they went to cities and, you know, had to fight to try to get jobs. White people said, oh, we don't want to live in the same close quarters as black people. Therefore, they moved to the suburbs. Let's talk about what has destroyed black neighborhoods. Let's talk about something called restrictive covenants. Now, anyone who has studied real estate knows what restrictive covenants are. When you are studying for your real estate certification in any state, most of your coursework will be on restrictive covenants and the illegality of them and the former legality of them and the effects thereof. So in the past, if a white person owned a property, typically, like, let's pretend you're white and you own a property and you're like 100 years old and you write some legal documents saying this property will not be sold to anyone that is black, anyone that is Chinese, anyone that is Italian, anyone that is Polish, because just because I don't want it to. That was legal. And that is what prevented black people from being able to purchase property in said suburbs. That is what prevented black people from moving ahead, you know, in the quote unquote rat race. It is quite a known fact that the most prevalent way for middle class people to gain wealth is through property ownership, is through the inheritance of property. How can you get ahead through generations without owning property? How can you get ahead through the generations without having property to pass down to your children? This is how wealth is built, you guys. This is the sort of the cornerstone of how wealth, this is like lower level how wealth is built. Lower level, okay? This is like basic how wealth is built intergenerationally. And black people were excluded from this. This is what has led to the destruction of black neighborhoods. We're not there yet, Candace, but we will get there. This is what has led. She says that black people are doing the worst in America, which is quite true. And she says that it's because black culture is sick. No, Candace, it's because of white supremacy. She says that the system is not racist. Candace is going to have to pick one, because how do you sue the Stanford School District and accuse them of being racist and then later say that it doesn't exist? So what Candace is, here's a paradox we have run into. What Candace Owens is going to have to do is, she is going to have to either admit that the school district actually was racist. She's going to have to admit that systemic racism is a thing. Or she's going to have to give the Stanford School District the $37,000 that she won in the lawsuit. Pick one. You have to pick one. You cannot say one thing and then say the other simultaneously. You really, like I won't let you do it. You really can't drive in two lanes. Pick a lane and stay in it. What? I really don't understand why, how people follow this woman and how people have these types of politics. Next. So we're talking about black neighborhoods, right? And why black people are worse off in America than everyone else. We are talking about the fact that, yes, there was slavery. We're talking about the fact that, yes, there were laws. You know, you remember separate but equal laws? You remember that when you were in school? That was a thing. And, but what I, again, what I just spoke about was restrictive covenants. We're talking about the lowest level of generating intergenerational wealth, which is through property ownership and the inheritance of property. This is how people gain wealth. Black people were excluded, along with Chinese, along with Italians, along with, America is so racist, you guys. It's like, remember when, you don't remember because even I don't remember, but remember when JFK was president and everyone was terrified because he was Catholic? And America is so racist that they associated Catholicism with Italians, and Italians were like considered second class white, if you know what I mean. Like, that's how racist they are. Like, Italians weren't even, you know, first class white. The same with Irish. Why do you think we have such a prominent Italian mob? Why do you think we have such a prominent Irish mob? Because they weren't allowed to participate in American society either. It's like, people turn to crime. Candace Owens always likes to say that black people commit the most crime, and that it's all our fault, and that it's black people's fault, it's black culture's fault. When in actuality, there's a reason why people commit crime, and it's because they have no other way to make ends meet. Again, why do you think we have such a prominent Italian mob? They weren't allowed to participate. They weren't allowed to have jobs. They were listed in restrictive covenants as well. So it's like, of course, what other option do you have? If you can't get a real job, you think people want to commit crimes just for fun? I don't think that the people who are in organized crime, like, really want to do that. Who wants to do that? Who wants to be looking over their shoulder constantly, throwing phones in the garbage can because you don't know if the FBI is listening? Imagine that. Imagine wanting to do that. Of course, there are some people that want to do that. But by and large, I highly doubt most people want to do that. It's because you feel that you have no other option is why you did that. And for a large period of time, that was true. It was true that you did not have any other option. That's why you see black people doing the worst in this country. Because there was no other option but to turn to crime. There was no other option. So what do you expect? And then she wants to say that white supremacy is not the reason for black people doing the worst in this country. How funny that English and French people aren't named in these restrictive covenants. She's so stupid. Well, she's not stupid. She's really just playing to her base, and she actually does it quite well, and it's her base that is stupid. That's what it is. Next, moving right along. Let's talk about how Candace references black-on-black crime. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get into black-on-black crime, which is a myth, by the way, let's finish talking about black neighborhoods being destroyed. The biggest destroyer of black neighborhoods is the United States government. Let's talk about it. I think they call it, is it called the Red Summer of 1919? In 1919, it was like the worst year for like hate crimes against black people, literally looting black neighborhoods. And I'm not talking about black people doing it. I'm talking about white people coming in and being annoyed that black people are there. I'm talking about white people being annoyed that black people exist. And so therefore they went and destroyed their neighborhoods. Let's talk about how in 1921, the United States government participated in the bombing of Tulsa, Oklahoma's black neighborhoods called Greenwood. Imagine that. Imagine the government bombing your neighborhood. just in Philly in 1985, the city government bombed black neighborhoods, killing people. They kill people. It's and you want to say white supremacy? Me and the mayor at the time said that he didn't like black people. So what are we talking about here? How can you say that it's not because of white supremacy when out these people's mouths they say that it's because of white supremacy? Out of their own, we have people today who call themselves white supremacists. I feel like people think that this notion is in our imaginations. It very much so is not in our imagination. It very much so is becoming more mainstream. It is coming to the forefront. It's here. This ideology is here to stay. It is here to stay, and it's getting a bigger platform because of social media, I think. I attribute the rise of far right-wing ideologies to social media. Because, hello, like, where else do people go? They can't talk to their friends about how they hate black people, how they hate Jews, and, like, so they go online, right? So we have the government destroying black neighborhoods, you know, as recently as 30 years ago. So it's not like, so hello, Candace. Like, did she not know that? I'm sure she did. But of course, she is playing to her base, which is racist. It's just the weirdest thing. Which, again, she does it for personal gain because she knows that America is inherently conservative. And what does conservatism mean? Conservatism just means that no one has rights. Conservatism, Candace would not have a good time in America in 1852. She wouldn't have a good time. Why? Because the rights that she enjoys now is because of left-wing ideology. It's because of progressivism. Her right to even vote is because of progressivism. She says that the Black Lives Matter protests are stupid. Candace, it's because of protests like the Black Lives Matter movement that you have the right to vote. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 came around in 1965. Black people weren't voting before then. Does she not know this? She knows this. She knows this. It's because civil rights is not a conservative tenet. It is not a conservative principle. All civil rights acts were passed because of left-wing ideology. Conservatives fought against every single civil rights act. They fought against every civil rights act. Civil Rights Act of 1866, Civil Rights Act of 1875, Civil Rights Act of 1960, Civil Rights Act of 1964, Civil Rights Act of 1968. It's like, why are you on the side that fights against civil rights? Now, let's talk about how people oftentimes say that the Republican Party is the party of civil rights, because let's really talk about that. So if you really do your research, you will see that these left-leaning ideologues in the past that passed this legislation of freeing the slaves, of allowing women to vote in 1919, they would call themselves Republican. Yes, that is very true. They would call themselves Republican. Over time, those party lines completely flipped. If you look at politicians who have been in the game for far too long, but if you look at politicians who have been in the game for a very long time, you will see that their political party affiliation has flipped. You can see everyone's political party affiliation. That's public record. And you can see that if they were around, you know, in the 50s, and then they were still around in the 90s, they flipped. Absolutely. Absolutely, they flipped. And it's quite funny because Republican rhetoric from the 1900s, it looks the same as Democrat rhetoric in the 2000s. But what conservatives want to do is pretend that the Republicans of the past are the same Republicans of today. When, let's be honest, if the Republicans of today were the politicians of yesteryear, they would have been fighting against the abolition of slaves. They would have been. They would have fought against women having the right to vote. Let's talk about some of these. Let's talk about, again, how the United States is inherently conservative. The United States is inherently conservative, you guys. We have politicians who have been around, who have been around for a very long time, who are in the Ku Klux Klan. Let's talk about it. The most prominent example I can think, actually no. Well, so Warren G. Harding was the president of the United States in like the 20s. He was a rumored Ku Klux Klan member. Imagine that, right? Imagine the president putting on the white hood, you know? So that was a speculation. But in even more recent years, we have Robert Byrd. Robert Byrd is what he was a senator from West Virginia. And in the 40s, he founded his own local Ku Klux Klan chapter. There we go. He started his own Klan chapter. And then 15 years later, he finds himself being the senator, being a senator from West Virginia. Someone who is actively a Klansman writing laws. Like, do we understand this? And by the way, he's a conservative. I mean, it's not lost on me that the Ku Klux Klan calls themselves Christian, because everything that they believe is what Christians believe too. At least that's what if you read what the Bible says. The Bible and Ku Klux Klan ideologies aren't that different. They really aren't that different. Robert Byrd was a Ku Klux Klan member writing laws for West Virginia and had influence on what laws get passed in the country. He served as senator until he died in 2010, you guys. Imagine a Klansman in 2010. That's making laws. a Ku Klux Klan member as a senator in 2010. Imagine. You don't even have to imagine because it happened. In the 90s, he said, oh, me joining the Klan was such a mistake. That's not a mistake. That was a choice. A mistake is, oh, I left my keys in the car. A mistake is I stubbed my toe. A mistake is not putting on a white hood and going out to kill the Negroes. Like, that's not a mistake. That's a choice. A bad choice. But don't go out and try to be like, oh, this was just a, like, oops. Oops, I didn't mean to be a, like, oh, no, it's not oops. Shut up. This is why we say that the system is white supremacist. This is why we say that the system is racist. This is why Candace Owens is very wrong. Candace Owens, she does a very good job of appealing to her base. Let's talk about how conservatism will always catch up with itself. I briefly touched on this. The fact that Candace Owens enjoys lots of rights today that she wouldn't have had 100 years ago is the fact that conservatism will catch up with itself. At some point, people are going to want to do what they want to do and still call themselves conservative. So what do you do then? What do you do then? You grant them rights, yes? Yes. However, don't say that that's a conservative value when what you want to do is conserve the past. You can't say, you can't have it both ways. That's why I say conservatives are going to have to pick one. Conservatives, what they need to do is just say that they are on the side of white people having their own ethnostate and being done with that. And just being done with that. Another thing about conservatism catching up with itself, you know how manufacturing is like, you know, it no longer exists in the United States, but the outsourcing boom really happened under Reagan and George Bush. It's like under conservative leadership, all the jobs left America. All the jobs left America, and now we're left with Rust Belt cities everywhere, and people don't have jobs. Meanwhile, the conservatives, all they can talk about is China's coming to steal your job. China's not coming to steal your job. You gave it to China. You gave it to Thailand. You gave it to Vietnam. That's what actually happened. You gave these jobs to Southeast Asia and somehow convinced everyone that Southeast Asia stole them. What is going on? See, this is how conservatism will catch up with itself. Always. It always will catch up with itself. Because at some point, there's always a paradox. Like, for example, with the military, you know, military personnel receive some nice benefit, or at least they should anyway. They receive VA loans, which is, you know, to buy property. You know, they get better interest rates, better terms and conditions. They get all this stuff. And it's like, that's a form of socialism. You know what I mean? Because it's the government that's providing these things, and conservatives are always talking about smaller government, pick one! You have to pick one! Like, if you want to support all these veterans, then you're going to have to create a larger socialized system for them. Otherwise, stop saying you care about them, because you don't. Because you don't. I can't tell you how many homeless veterans have signs out in New York City. And in Philly, like, honestly, pick one. You cannot do both. You really can't do both. And you know what? So that's where I'm going to try to end the podcast today. Yeah. I didn't get through everything, but, whatever. It'll just go on to another topic for another day, you guys. So Candace Owens, yeah, in summation, Candace Owens is a loser. She is such a loser, you guys. Because who would do this but not except a loser? Like, really selling yourself out? Selling yourself out for clicks? You know, all she can talk about is how women need to be, like, traditional and how she's so traditional. But it's, like, traditional. What does that mean? In the conservative sense, that meant being a baby factory. That meant staying at home. That meant cooking and cleaning all day long. That's what a traditional wife was. And Candace is none of those things. You don't even know who her husband is, so she's married. Maybe for a year or two, not too long. But you don't know who her husband is. Like, for all we know, he could be the one staying at home. So it's like, pick one! It's so maddening how conservatives push this traditional, like, this being traditional wife, having traditional values, when they have none themselves. They have no traditional values because, again, you enjoy these rights. Rights to vote, rights to assemble, right to petition the government. But a lot of these rights were granted because of progressivism. Conservatism is not the party. Conservatism is not the ideology that grants you the right to vote, unless you're a white male. Conservatism is not the ideology that grants you the right to, you know, a 40-hour work week. Because before that, they could do anything they wanted, and if you didn't comply, you were out. Conservatism is not the ideology that lends to safe workplace environment. Otherwise, you could get hurt and no one cares. So that's why I don't understand why anyone, especially if you're of any minority status, why you subscribe to conservatism. And that's it. So, thank you guys for listening. I will see you guys in my next one, and I will definitely be coming back to these topics very soon. They are quite relevant. I didn't even get into talking about voter suppression. I didn't even get into talking about very far right-wing people who call themselves Nazis who are in mainstream media. Imagine having a Nazi in mainstream media in 2021. All right, I got 10 seconds left. So thank you guys for listening, and I will see you in my next one.